By the way, if you're checking us out on your smart speaker, even if you're a dummy like me, News Radio KDKA. News Radio KDKA. And if you want to hear this stuff later, go to Odyssey. Our app is smoking, and a rewind allows you to listen to this show back again for up to 24 hours. I have discussed this quite a bit. The dearth of folks who want to work. Employers are desperate. There have been different radical discussions, cut off unemployment, raise minimum wage, which I find fascinating. A state leader is going to propose a bill to raise the minimum wage in Pennsylvania. Man, no one gives a damn about the minimum wage. There's no more minimum wage on the books. It might be a law, but my man, you need to update your reading. You can go to, and I'm not exaggerating, 1,000 places in Pittsburgh today. Fast food joints that pay way over the minimum wage. Way over. Man, if you take a job for minimum wage right now, you're a fool. Why are we debating minimum wage? The marketplace has changed dramatically. Man, you can get $15 an hour at McDonald's. You can get $18 an hour at Costco, Walmart, Target. Come on, man. Quit wasting my time with this angst over the minimum wage being $8 an hour. Well, it's actually less. Come on, man. Get a grip. Read the news. You're wasting my time. The other issue is companies that say they are desperate for employees, yet they won't hire certain people. I find this conversation fascinating. A young man reached out to me with a compelling story, a controversial story. Since I lost my job in March, I have submitted 108 resumes or applications or both, 33 interviews, phone, video, on-site, one job offer due to my criminal conviction. I don't want to hear employers are desperate ever again. How about that? Is he right? Would you hire him? Would you? Man. I have said on this show, because I've interviewed these men over the years in prison or out of prison, that there are folks who would feel more comfortable around someone convicted of murder than someone accused of and or who pled guilty of some sort of offense involving children, right? Porn, right? Right. Rick, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Marty. How are you?
So, you tell folks, what was your conviction for, sir?
About 5 years ago, I pled guilty to one count of possession of child pornography. I was sentenced to 5 years probation and 15 years registry on Pennsylvania's SORNA list as a Tier 1 offender.
Do you consider yourself a pedophile?
Absolutely not.
Why?
I've never felt an attraction to children. The reason why I did what I did is I became deeply, deeply addicted to pornography. And I went down a rabbit hole I shouldn't have gone down. And I take responsibility for the fact that I did download the pictures that I downloaded onto my cell phone. I saved them to an email account. The company that ran the email account scans email accounts and found the images. And that was led to my conviction.
And your demise, would we be able to argue that it destroyed your life?
Absolutely.
What did it do to your life?
Before my conviction, I was working at a $49,000 a year job, and I was happily married. And I'm neither of those things right now.
It blew up your marriage.
Yes, it did.
It blew up your career.
Absolutely.
It blew up your career.
Absolutely.
You know, I've asked...
I accept that. I accept both of those things. If I'd known beforehand, obviously I would have reached out and gotten help, and that's one of my great regrets, is I knew I was in trouble 2 weeks before I committed my offense, but I didn't look into getting help, which I also accept is my responsibility.
By the way, we've been communicating for a while, and I respect the hell out of him doing this, because I think it's eye-opening. I think it provides us with vital information. And I think it also underlines my very issue of, is he unemployable? And if he is, what do you do with him? You put him in a cage? How low did you get, man? How low?
My lowest point was actually was I was in the Allegheny County Jail, and the other people in the holding cell that I was in found out what my charges were. Talk about going from being invisible to being the target of everyone's focus. I was attacked by a couple people, not severely injured. I was bruised, but that was my lowest moment.
You were beaten.
I wouldn't say beaten so much as the person that attacked me tried to get my paperwork from me, and he eventually did.
Did they want to kill you?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. At one point, somebody offered to give me a swirly in the communal toilet, and I knew immediately they were going to drown me.
They wanted to stick your head in the toilet.
Yep.
Right?
After he pissed in it.
After he urinated in it.
Yep.
At the end of the day, did you ever become suicidal from all the angst?
I have to admit, I have had some dark moments, and most of them been frustrations because I wanted to work. I still have skills. I have intelligence. I may do stupid things, but I still have skills and intelligence, and it's just been frustrating to be told no over and over again. Eventually, you get a little callous to it, but at the end of the day, you still got to pay your bills, and when there's no way out, it's depressing.
What about the folks who say, who swear by, you, my friend, can never be fixed. You will always be bad. You will always have a porn addiction. What do you say to them?
I accept that because one of the things I had to do was court-mandated group therapy. And then therapy, they recognize that porn addiction is like any other addiction. If you have it, you have it for life. The best thing you can do is recognize it and manage it. But the other thing they told us, too, is we are not our addiction. We are not our offense. That we are whole people. And that given the tools, we can live with the addiction.
I admire and respect the hell out of this man for coming on here, because I think most folks have never heard this kind of story. And I think it takes tremendous courage. And quite frankly, if you listen to this guy, he's contrite. As we go to break, and we discuss this, some folks would rather have a murderer in their office than you. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. Some people would rather have a drunk driver in their office. And to me, that's a sore spot because my cousin and his wife were killed by a drunk driver. I personally view drunk driving as attempted vehicular homicide, but that's a whole nother kettle of fish. I understand why people feel the way they do. Children have to be protected. I absolutely understand that.
It's amazing courage to do this. Hang in there, my man. We'll be right back.
Okay.
I am not taking callers here. I want you to listen. I think there's a learning curve here that we all need to absorb some of this, and I'm fascinated by it and respect and admire him for doing this. Meantime, folks are texting me with job opportunities for them. So people do care. You know, I found this fascinating. This actually came up, and I'm so grateful for Rick for allowing us to have this conversation with him. Most people wouldn't want to get near this. Why? Because, man, you might as well put a tattoo in the middle of his head, quite frankly, in the professional world. And the tattoo would read, I am a pedophile. And that's how he is judged. And that's what happens when he looks for a job. By the way, he doesn't want your sympathy or empathy. He just doesn't. He wants opportunity. And he understands the dynamic of what he's living through. And I don't want to speak for you, but I'm kind of in the ballpark of how you feel, right? You don't want sympathy or empathy. You just want a shot at making a living, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I'm asking for. I'm not looking for a handout. I'm looking for a hand up.
And at the end of the day, the frustration for you is, and I love the fact that you reached out because I think it's relevant, because everybody isn't a convicted sex offender involving kiddie porn, child porn, however you want to describe it. But
right,
there are 100 million Americans with arrest records. And, my friend, there are more than 14 million Americans with felony arrest records. Rick, what
Absolutely.
Are we supposed to do? Just say to hell with all of you?
That appears to be what the society wants. Obviously, you mentioned some people are more comfortable with certain offenses than others.
Right.
but it still leaves a lot of people out of the workforce. And in a situation like we're in now, where people are begging for employees, they should at least give a fair opportunity to people who want to work. Now, as I understand it, Philadelphia has a law that addresses criminal convictions, and I can't articulate it perfectly.
Well, they're
right
trying
now.
to remove minor offenses from your record.
Yeah, there's that, but then there's also some other law, and the reason why I know about it is because it keeps getting attached to some of the job openings I'm looking at.
Right, and Pittsburgh even has the no-ask clause, where, in other words, you got to check the box, and they can't ask you if you're convicted of anything before an interview, but they can do a background check. Look, here's my thing, and you know me by now, and we've communicated, and I respect and admire the fact that you're even having this conversation. You understand the angst, right, that certain employers would have by having you on their roster, do you not, sir?
I do. They don't want their name attached to anything scandalous, and that makes perfect sense.
And when you have worked in a business, does it get out, as I want to, and maybe that's not the right descriptive, does it get out that he has been convicted of child pornography? Does it get out, and then all of a sudden you get in the stairs?
Not yet.
Okay.
I have had employers who've known and have said it stays in the HR office. I've had employers who've known and haven't said anything and just let me work. I've never been subjected to anything by any other employee. I've gone in, done my job, tried to be helpful to everybody, and gone home. I'm fortunate because I know that it happens the other way. It gets out.
It does.
And depending on what industry you're working in, I mean, it can be brutal.
How old are you?
55.
Okay, so you could work at least another 10 years, maybe 20, depending
easily.
On how long you want to work.
Sure.
And if you can't find a gig, you're going to be living off of taxpayers the rest of your life.
That's the irony, is people say, this is the irony I've been dealing with, is people say, okay, once you're done with your offense, you need to reintegrate into society, but then they won't give you an opportunity to reintegrate into your society. There was an illustration I heard by a prison activist once that I thought was really appropriate. You're given a credit card when you're born by the society, and if you run up a debt on that credit card, you can pay off the balance, but you're charged interest forever.
And are you angry about this?
I have had angry moments.
Yeah, I really
have, because mostly it's been born out of frustration.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I say, I totally understand the way employers feel. There are many days I just wish I had never gone down that rabbit hole.
And
I wouldn't be in the situation I was in if I hadn't.
And do you ever go down the rabbit? And you're about as honest as the person I've met. It's amazing how upfront you've been. Do you ever go down the rabbit hole? Do you ever look at porn?
I look at legal porn.
Legal.
Legal porn. And in the course of my therapy, the therapist that I dealt with said he expected that. He expected that adults are going to want to look at pornography. But you have to realize the factors that got you into the situation that you were in with your conviction.
Right.
Ironically, the big situation, the factors that got me in my situation were isolation and boredom.
So you downloaded a file with child pornography on it, you got caught.
Yep.
Who got you, the feds or state?
It was state.
And why weren't you sent to prison? Folks would think this guy should be in prison.
My understanding is, and I don't really know because I never heard, when I was represented by an attorney, they didn't really explain the process. My understanding is it was a first offense, and it was plea bargained.
My man, I got to tell you this. My phone's blowing up with folks who want to give you a shot, a second chance. And I'm going to reach out to you after the show and touch base. I can't be more grateful for your honesty. I think it helps all of us understand what we don't understand. Thanks, Rick.
You're very welcome.